Blog Talk Radio.
It's Green Talk Live and more.
And it's Real Talk Radio with the chef.
I'm Chef Moses.
And I'm Chef Rivera. Welcome.
Welcome. Tonight we're going to talk about GMOs.
And F1s.
And F1s. GMOs, for those of you that are unaware, GMOs, the acronym is genetically modified organisms. There's a lot of debate. There's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on and a lot of talk for a long time about genetically modified organisms. Where can I go? What can I say? There's so many things to say about them. I will say this. Genetically modified organisms are not natural. You're going to hear a little bit of research and stuff that we've come across, and actually for a long time we've had in the archives. They're genetically modified through radiation and gamma rays, X-rays and gamma rays. As soon as you say gamma rays, the first thing and the first person I think of is the Incredible Hulk. So you already know what that's about. I think what's being done and the reasons for GMOs was that food, especially now, the food is not being grown the way it used to be grown. We have used so many fixed chemicals, a saturation of fertilizers, herbicides, all types of pesticides and chemicals on crops in the United States. So what happens is over the years, these chemicals, they don't evaporate. They stay in the ground. Some of them stay in the ground and go into the water table that is underneath the ground. It's a shame that, you know, somebody had a beautiful idea, but did not do the research fully to understand the significance of putting genetically modified organisms into play. Let me give you an example before I go into this. Baby food. There was something, I'll give you a perfect example. There was something pertaining to Johnson's baby powder. Now, I know you like Johnson's baby powder. Johnson and Johnson just came out about a month ago, and they were saying that they have been putting formaldehyde inside the baby powder. Formaldehyde. This is embalming fluid. So my whole thing is that babies utilize this powder. When you say baby powder, it's without saying it's going to go for a baby, but, you know, grown-ups use it, adults use it, we all use it around our necks in the summertime and, you know, all of that stuff. So my whole thing is that these genetically modified organisms, starch is inside the baby powder. Starch is a grain, a commodities grain that's grown. Starch can actually, certain starches are genetically modified. There's all types of food additives and all types of flavoring agents and pH regulators and all of that stuff, man. So in one corner, what doesn't affect us directly affects us indirectly. So we're talking about food and GMOs, but the GMOs are actually not in just our food, but in every single facet of our lives. My whole thing is that I know you all out there who are listening would like to have the choice to know if there are genetically modified foods that we are eating. The reason, again, that they brought this up was because crops were failing, and scientists believe that, well, here is a way of growing fruits and vegetables and other things. It started with fruits and vegetables first, and then it moved on into other arenas and other other little nuances of things in daily life. But it started out with fruits and vegetables. And the thing was that rot, there was all types of in-rot bottoms and blooms that were destroying the plants. So scientists said, well, listen, let's make a cucumber that is susceptible, that is not susceptible to powdery mildew.
Right.
So they, what they did was they went into the genetic code, the genome, and they actually found, because they found what gene to take out as opposed to guessing. Just like they mapped the human genome, they've been mapped the fruits and vegetables, but the thing was they knew exactly where everything was, so they took out what they wanted and took what they needed. That's the thing with genetically modified organisms. You think you're enhancing something, but the thing is that you're actually not, you don't know what you're doing. You don't know what's going to happen because there was no study that was said, well, let's plant these GMOs in this box right here and in a controlled environment. But, you know, something like that, yeah, you can do it in a controlled test environment, but you should do something like that in real time. And they did do that, but that was back in like in the 70s. They did some testing on crops and stuff like that, but you have to do it in a farm.
Right.
And they did do it in the farm. But what happened was no one paid attention. A test is something that happens for over a prolonged period of time, especially when you're dealing with something that, you know, human beings are going to ingest and all this. This is not something that's done 4 or 5 years. This is something that takes at least 50 to 75 years, or maybe even 85 years, just to understand the significance of what's really going on. They didn't do that. So what happened was, you know, now in the United States of America, we've been, you know, we've been in a famine, whether, you know, people know it or not.
Mm-hmm.
Most of our food comes from other countries because in the South, there's a lot of red clay. The farmers have had to been bailed out in New York, in the
on
South.
On several occasions.
You know, it's just heinous, man. It really, truly is. These farmers, these crops, It's just a lot of stuff going on with these genetically modified organisms, and now they have it now where if Monsanto's seeds blow onto your farm, Monsanto can sue you. Yeah,
that's how powerful Monsanto is.
Not just how, but it goes to show you just how crazy this world that we live in is. Thing is, if this was a court of law, I'm not trying to be funny, but what I'm trying to say is, if this was a court of law, the lawyers would be blaming God, not the farmer, because God is the one that controls the weather and all of that stuff. But he's out of the equation. So the thing is to go after the person that's making money and, you know, that his livelihood was before Monsanto and all of these other scary, spooky monsters came along. The farmer was saving seeds. And every year he'd grow his crops off of those organic heirloom seeds. But then Monsanto came in like game changer and was like, well, this is what we're going to do and this is how we're going to do it. You're going to buy, and this is something that's true, because you're speaking to a farmer, so I'm going to tell you how it goes. The seed companies will come to you, and they will say, well, how many seeds do you want, and this is the variety of seeds that we have. Now, mind you, all of the seeds that they are showing you are genetically modified. The reason they are genetically modified is because all of these seeds will only grow from 1 to 2 seasons. Only grow 1 to 2 seasons. Then that second season, now I need you to Google this if you don't believe me. You think I'm just, you know, flying blind in the sky. There's a gene, and it's called conveniently, the Terminator gene. This gene terminates, it turns on itself, it implodes on itself and becomes sterile. Check that out. That's deep. To go in, even though this seed was modified genetically, it's no more a heirloom seed because in its genetic precursor, in its code, it was told to implode on itself. This is the type of technology and the type of, you know, science that we're dealing with. It's really deep. Let me give you this, though. GMOs. Organisms whose genetic makeup, DNA, has been altered in a way that does not occur naturally. Okay? We were speaking about that. It's either gamma rays or X-rays that they use it's forms of transgenics, and it's crazy. But stay with me, bear with me. Our crops are currently modified to survive herbicide treatment and produce their own pesticides and resist certain diseases. That was the main reason genetically modified organisms came into play. Because it was promised that, oh, well, we'd have an abundance of food and we'll never go hungry. But in the same breath that they did the GMOs, they also did something else. They took out the nutritional value in the fruit. So if your fruit has no trace elements of minerals and vitamins, you're eating garbage. Your body's not getting any vitamins and minerals. So now, for grown-ups, what happens is we become agitated and mean and very kind of crazy to a degree. But now with children that eat these fruits and vegetables, what are they getting? They're getting diagnosed with ADHD. Yes, people, ADHD. It's simple. If your body is lacking niacin and the essential minerals and vitamins that the body needs to sustain itself, what happens is you act out. You don't have no vitamins, no minerals in your body, you act out. You hyperglycemic. Listen, you act out. You go crazy. There's no other way to explain it. We like to use other words when we're in front of people, but behind closed doors, these are the words that we use. I choose to use the words that we use behind closed doors because you always know where the chef is coming from. There'll be no doubt, no question in your mind. So these foods are affecting our children. But we just thought it was just in the general area of just fruits and vegetables. No, no, no. In North America, over 70% of our packaged foods contains GMOs.
Yep.
Various food additives, including flavoring agents, nutritional supplementation, thickeners, pH regulators, meat, dairy animals as well. Now check this out. Farmed fish may eat GMO feed since GMOs are prevalent in the commodities grain. But I can assure you that our fish don't have that because we make our fish food ourselves. So, you know, you got to remember, all of these flavoring agents and thickeners and pH regulators, these are the things that they are putting in the food. But I'm going to leave, GMOs are not really, that's the name that they give us. I'm here to tell you right now. And, you know, I'm going to go into that a little bit to let you know exactly what the real name of GMOs, what GMOs really are. But scientists, I'm going to hit you with this. Scientists in both the private and the public sector, they clearly see genetic modifications as a major new set of tools. They are also participating and they are spectators in a major shift of research from the public to the private sector. which will undoubtedly influence the future and direction of research and research investment. As shareholders in the GMO debate, scientists, they're shareholders. These scientists, they own patents. They invent these things, and then they hold the patent to it. So, you know, this, they're shareholders. So their whole thing is about money to a large degree. As a shareholder, my whole thing is, listen, company make money, I'm going to make money. If the company not making money, I'm not making money. So, you know, that's not a good look. But it's about, it's big business as usual.
Mm-hmm.
Scientists must recognize that there's also substantial public distrust in science.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the reason why we have such a distrust in science, you know, I speak to people all the time. You know, I have, you know, a couple of friends, you know, one friend of mine, he's a funny cat. He's a scientist himself, but he is a conservative, so to speak. He's not for all this stuff. But he tells me, he says, well, Chef, you know, what do you think about growing a human ear on a mouse's back? Listen, now my whole thing is, you know, it's a lab mouse. Listen, just the thought of having an ear, just so you know, science, you know, my ear was taken off, but just to know that this ear that is now on my, that was grafted onto my ear, physically put onto my ear, was actually grown on a rat's back, on a mouse's back. I don't know. That give me a chance to say no. I don't want that. I don't want the ear that was grown on a mouse's back. I mean, you couldn't put it in the petri dish. You couldn't. You know. All right. Okay. It needed some live tissue to be activated, and it couldn't just. No problem. You all need to find something that can grow in a petri dish, and maybe that'd be a little bit acceptable. But these are the things that we're dealing with, and we don't trust science. We don't trust scientists. Like I said, it's crazy. It's crazy. But obviously, the industry looks at GMOs as an opportunity for corporation profit.
Right.
Yet at the same time, recognizing that public acceptance may be a stumbling block. In turn, governments often often lack coherent policies in relations to GMOs and have not yet developed or implemented adequate regulatory instruments and infrastructure as a result in most countries. That's why you can have a lot of GMO crops in third world countries and, you know, all of these things. But a lot of crops are actually cultivated in the United States. A lot of genetically modified crops are grown in the United States. As far as GMO crops in the world, it currently stands at about 44.2 million hectares. Now, check this out. This compared with 11 million hectares only 3 years ago. So from 44.2 million, and it was 11 million hectares 3 years ago, that says a lot. GMO crops are really moving, though, and they're really prevalent in our lives, in our everyday lives. Now, only in China, one of the GMO cottons was locally developed and commercialized. Other countries obtained genetic constructs. Listen, oh my goodness. Listen, what? A genetic construct? Listen, are we in the Matrix? What are they talking about? What are they saying? This is why people feel the way they feel. You know,
It's such a serious topic, and it's so commercial now that, you know, the government is really stepping its foot down on, you know, farmers trying to give people organic produce. That's what we fight for and advocate for every day. They want to control everything that we do, including what goes into our bodies, which shouldn't be the case. But nevertheless, roughly 80% of the American public buys organic food. So to answer how the public feels, the public is really denouncing, thank goodness, GMOs and F1s and stuff that can make them sick. Everybody has an intrinsic value for their health, and they want to keep their health, and they want to stay alive as long as they can. And they fully understand with all the information out there and movies and things of that nature, documentaries that are out there, or, you know, letting the public know what's going on, which is why there's an influx of the American population, whether they're rich or poor, really divulging a lot of their income towards organic produce.
Listen, Subway's, pay attention to this.
That just came out, what Chef's going to say.
Subway's, in their bread, they are using a cancer-causing agent that softens the bread. They're not supposed to, it's not made for food consumption. But this is what Subway
is. There's a huge battle over that in the American public.
Yeah, it really truly is.
But the Subway is a very huge franchise right now. And what's so funny about it is all the European and Asian countries and any other country that they step their foot in, they don't use those additives in their bread. However, in the American market, there's a lot more freedom with the FDA, whereas they can use these chemicals in bread on various different levels. It's not just Subway. I'm pretty sure there's various different other franchises and organizations using that in their bread to stretch, you know, that bottom dollar. That being said, if you want to check out things on your own to verify what we're saying, Food Inc., which you can watch on any other movie streaming companies that you might may subscribe to, it looks into the food industries and how harmful they are and how they're becoming more corporate, and the corporations could really care less about people's health. Another film you could watch is Hungry for Change, which is how corporations use addictive additives to control you and how you eat. You ever get those urges to want to go back to the same kind of food and you won't stop feeling that way until you get that taste and to get that taste satisfied? It, 9 times out of 10, it's an additive that your body is used to consuming, and that's why you need to go back and taste certain foods. Like, for instance, like orange juice, or like, you know, English muffins and things like that, or even McDonald's. With, you know, I mean, it just goes on and on and on. Another film that you can watch on a movie streaming, any movie streaming subscription that you have, is Farmageddon, and they tell you how farms who once produced safe and healthy food to their communities were stopped by the United States government in a nutshell and basically were forced out of business. So, you know, these are the things in the movies people risk their lives, you know, from the producers to the writers of these movies to the researchers to the people that deal with these kind of things to put that stuff out. They risk their life to bring this stuff out because it's not just about one community. It's about people in large, you know, the populace.
Bastards at the party.
You know, that our lives are being affected by what we eat.
What Chef was saying is true. Food Inc., all of these different, you know, all of these different movies, actually documentaries, would be good for people to gain knowledge and access to let you know what's going on. But now I have to ask this question. If you are forcing farmers out of business that are growing organic produce that is not GMOs, now you have to ask yourself, why is that? Not just why. You know, usually people say that, and they just stop there. But no, you need to ask yourself not only why they're doing it, But what's the intricate reason behind it? We don't talk like that. A lot of us don't talk. We'll talk like that behind closed doors. But the thing is that we need to have an open discussion about these things, you know, because, I mean, some more information that I'm going to be bringing out to you is really going to make you understand that somebody has an agenda. Somebody has an agenda, and the thing
with
is
a lot of money, a lot of old money.
Yeah, and the thing is that we do not need to be a part of the agenda. See, the reason why they allowed those farmers were allowed to be that happened to them, because farmers and the public are not notified and aware of what the hell is going on. But there's a lot of farmers that are collectively together,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, there are a lot of farmers that still grow and use heirloom seeds. The thing is that we do not use, I'm speaking for us now as farmers, we do not use genetically modified seeds. And I know the people out there in radio land right now, well, how you know what you use it?
Listen, a lot of research and a lot of care.
Not only a lot of research and a lot of care, but we have farms down south. And down south, they do not play that. Them folks down there do not play. They don't want no GMOs.
In the south, nope.
Listen, if you got seeds that's coated, listen, in the south, they burn them. They don't play. Listen, they do not play. Don't get me wrong. They do sell genetically modified seeds because a lot of the farmers down there have from seed companies.
To be subsidized.
That's the only way that you're gonna get money. That you're gonna eat. The only way you can eat is to use these genetically modified seeds and feed it to the populace.
Sustain yourself.
Because the government wants to control the seeds. And the government's controlling it now. But the thing is this, if the seeds are not controlled and you're saving seeds, that means you don't need me no more.
Exactly.
And so what I'm going to do, sit on all of these millions of seeds? No, what I'm going to do is I'm going to put a phone call in and I'm going to talk to one of my buddies in Washington, be like, hey, listen, you need to get these guys, you need to force these guys to buy these seeds and shit off us. That's what you need to do. So somebody got paid, and they changed and modified the law, and now it's all about, well, listen, as a farmer, if you do not buy these seeds, you can't grow nothing. What's going on? When are we going to wake up? I feel like every day I wake up, I feel like I'm being, you know how a person like flinches at you like, huh? And then sometimes you like blink your eyes and you jump or something like that. I feel like every day in my life dealing with, you know, everything to me is green and it affects me. But I have to deal with people jumping at me and making me say, well, you want to fight? Because this is what they're saying to us. They're not saying this to me. They're saying this to the American public. They all jumping at us like bullies. Like, what you going to do? Do something. They want to incite us. They do. But the thing is that we are not going to fall for that. We fell for other things, but we're not going to fall for that. We need to all come together as people,
communities, especially in America.
In America, because I'm going to be honest with you, this all of this bickering, we've become a third world country. We've become a third world country.
And where other countries won't tolerate certain things, especially when it comes to food and the way their food is grown and what their foods are grown with, America is like a common dumping ground, an experiment, period.
It's a project.
America's like a big experimental project for corporations to just dump whatever and just
spray whatever.
See what happens to the populace.
It was like rats in a maze, chasing cheese. So listen, always remember, if chefs tell you that there's cheese in the Rockaways, y'all better go get your crackers, you heard? But no. You know, we really need to to focus on some of these things, though. But firstly, I want to say this. The Cartagena Protocol, this was a convention on biological diversity, which was adopted in January of 2000. It will come into force after 50 ratifications and is the main international agreement in relation to GMOs. Listen to me when I say this to you. GMOs is what they call it for the public. But it, in all actuality, it's LMOs. You ready for the acronym for LMOs? Living modified organisms. So that means that you eating and you're ingesting living modified organisms. Now, you know what? All I'm gonna say to you is I'm gonna throw it out there. You do your own research. Nanites. It's not a thing of GI Joe. Nanites they're here. Nanites are so sophisticated, the level of engineering on this scale, unprecedented. Nanites are actually microscopic. You would need an electron magnetoscope to look at them. That's how small they are. But guess what? They are modified to actually build each other. On a microscopic level. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Do you understand what I'm saying to you all out there in radio land? This is a little bit of the technology that's out already. And it's crazy. But I just said something to you that you really need to let this sink into your head. Living modified organisms. But now check this out. Nanites, what they can do is modify synaptic brain waves in the brain. It's nothing for them to come to the stem of the base of the brain and have a pre-programmed. It's nothing. They're like wireless. Come on, man. It's like Wi-Fi. This is not me making this up. All of this stuff is documented. The United States government now
has this in their files.
They have this
records.
So you all need to understand and grasp the magnitude of what I am saying to you. If you have a living modified organism inside your body, you might be susceptible to
anything.
I don't know. Listen, jump off a roof, rob a bank. Somebody could do something. I'm just saying, you got a living modified organism in you. You are the only living modified organism that's, you're supposed to be eating either dead meat, which is cooked, it's dead, or you do your vegan thing. Hey, whatever. But you're not supposed to be consuming live modified organisms.
Which is contradictory to your natural makeup as a person.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you're eating yogurt, you're eating genetically modified, living modified organisms.
Okay.
Because the culture was made inside a laboratory.
Yep.
Yeah, so when you're eating that peach yogurt and that strawberry yogurt and the sherbet and all of that, just know those are additives that were genetically made. Are flavors that were genetically made. The whole thing is it takes about 9 apples to make a cup of apple juice.
Mm-hmm.
So their whole thing is like, well, dang, that's a lot of apples. So why don't we do this? Why don't we genetically modify flavor, make flavor in an abundance, and then concentrate it to the point where all I have to do is put like 3 or 4 drops in an eye tube and boom, lemonade. Wow. It ain't got no pitch, but it tastes just like lemonade. Yeah, because that's the genetically modified flavor. So
additives.
The additives, the, like I told you, the pH regulators, the softeners, and all of this other stuff, man. But just to let you know that the what I was talking about, I'm going back to what we were talking about in the living modified organisms. This was in the language of the protocol that was talked about, Cartagena. It covers a long list of things, but what I'm gonna go into this right now for you. It covers the transboundary movement, transit holding, and use of all LMOs, living modified organisms, now except for pharmaceuticals. Now they don't, you know, they don't want to put it in pharmaceuticals. They just want to put it in everything else. You know, well, if one won't kill you, the other one will, so it's okay. That may have adverse effects on the conservation and sustainable use of biological diversity, taking also into account the risk on human health. It allows for standard settings in relations to the handling, transport, packaging, and identification of LMOs. So, stay with me, please.
It's a lot to take in 2 hours, but we're just lightly touching on a topic that is raging in government, is raging in the public, and is raging with protesters all over the world, but especially in the United States. It's prevalent, and, you know, people that are protesting about their self-sustainability and how they live and what they want to eat is going to continue raging on until these corporations just stop, which they won't because it's proliferated by financial gain. And, you know, it's their whole thing, it's at the expense of the public. And as long as that bottom dollar is met, then that's what it is.
That's with all corporations.
True.
Especially the corporation of the United States of America. But we was talking earlier, we were talking about a couple of things, but I'm going back to the mutation. What is the mutation? I was telling you the X-rays, gamma rays, stuff like that. But I need to, you know, people want to know, you know, what is mutation breeding? The physical forms of an organism, its genetic blueprint, is the sequence of four letters of the genetic alphabet. It's structured within the DNA molecules. Mutations are physical alterations in the sequence of letters within the DNA. Mutation breeding is the process of exposing plant seeds to ionized radiation, X-rays, or gamma ray.
Unbelievable.
Or what they like to call mutagenics. Mutagenics. Chemicals in order to increase the rate of mutation in the DNA. Just as you can change the meaning of a sentence by changing the sequence of letters in the sentence, you can change the meaning of a gene by changing the sequence of letters within the genetic code of the DNA of any organism. A mutagen is a physical or a chemical agent that causes such changes. Now, check that out. You notice what they call it, mutagen. This process of changing the DNA is known as mutagenesis. Mutagenesis can either completely destroy the function of a gene that is knocked out, its function, or it can change the sequence of letters of the genetic code in the gene, causing it to direct the cell to produce one or more proteins with altering functions. The resulting plant is called a mutant. So, now, what do we not know? Let me see. gamma rays and x-rays are harmful to the human body.
That's radiation.
So, two different forms of radiation, but yet still radiation, like Chef said. But now, if radiation is bad for the human body, why would you want to use radiation on to mutate plants, right? Now, I know y'all going to think I'm crazy, but y'all better do your research. To mutate on mutated plants, I know for a fact there's more than 3,000, but for research purposes, we're going to use 3,000. But I am pretty sure that there's more than 3,000 varieties of plants that have been mutated. Now check this out. Mutation of plants. They mutate these plants. They hit them with the gamma rays and the x-rays, right? Then what they do is they graft them. They actually take a piece of the mutated plant and they graft it. What grafting is actually taking, like say I was to take an orange and an apple, right? What happens is I take the stock, the root stock of this strong apple, right? And what I do is I cut out a little notch in the bottom, on the top. And then I cut out a notch from the apple, from the orange apple, cut out a notch and sip that orange splice right into that apple. And then I get some tape. Hold it together so that where I cut at, it'll heal. And what happens is that the plant grows. So this is where we get what they called dwarf varieties from.
Mm-hmm. Especially with the Meyer lemon.
Crazy. Listen to what we're saying. Do your own research. This stuff is out here. These things are affecting us, and they shouldn't be allowed to. But you know, if we're dormant and nobody's saying nothing, the rapist is going to keep coming in and raping you. That's just what it is. So, some people were asking us too. Were like, how does GMOs create? How do they create mutations? Just as mutation breeding is highly mutagenic, so is the process of creating GMO plants and GMO transformation process involving three kinds of mutagenics effects. Insertional mutagenics, genome-wide mutations, and mutations caused by tissue culture. Now, these are the different,
it's very intrinsic and it's very profound what's going on with this whole, control of food agenda that, the government has and corporations have. It's incredible. And that's why there's all kind of health risks. Cancer's pretty much surpassed heart disease in this country, in various parts of the United States. It's just, with the water being bad and the food being bad and the environment being bad, and, farmers like ourselves and other farmers across the country that are trying their best to counteract this agenda, it's a very, very hot topic.
It is a very hot topic, and it goes without saying, everything, I'm speaking from our perspective now, everything that we grow is organic.
100%.
Everything that I feed my chickens is organic. I don't feed them rice, and I don't feed them oats. Even the oats that we get, the Quaker oats, genetically modified. Don't feed them none of that. So the reason I'm saying this is because we have found that even all of our animals, our farm animals, we have two farms. So all of our farm animals, all of the farm animals that we will be getting this April for our second farm, they're going to be fed non-GMOs.
And the animals themselves will be heirloom animals, meaning that they're not hybrids and they're not crossed between any other animal. They are naturally born as they are.
I got a funny story to share.
Without genetic influences.
I got a very funny story to share with you all out there. Me and Chef Rivera went to John Baum High School. One of our colleagues is he teaches farming and agriculture at the college, at the high school. We took one of our twins with us. And to make a long story short, we went in. You know, he was giving my son actually one of my son a seated toy. He had some llamas and some alpacas and stuff like that, different types of animals there. And we went into a room where he was like, well, you know, Chef, listen, I got some new chickens, and they paid us a grant to raise these chickens. Mm. And I was like, oh, really? I said, what kind of grant is it? He was like, well, they're special. And I said, well, what's so special about it? He said, they were genetically altered, these chickens. Listen to me.
I'll never forget that.
When we went inside, when he rolled back that door, I'm a farmer, and I've been farming for a long time, many, many, many moons. Chickens individually bark, you know, and they do what they do. They move around. When he opened up that door, all 600 of those chickens
looked at us.
They stopped doing what they was doing, and they all turned around and looked at us
at the door.
So now, they stopped. All that. They stopped. Now, listen, if I'm lying, I'm dying. I'm telling you something that's the truth, and I have a witness here. Listen, we are walking, and my colleague, our constituent, is talking to us, and la, 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 la. I've never seen those chickens. It was like they were at a tennis match. I kid you not. He's talking, they're looking at him. We start talking, they're looking at us. He starts talking, they interact. It's like they was listening to what we were saying. I'm not exaggerating.
True.
I'm not bullshitting. I'm telling you something that's really true.
Very scared.
And my son was scared. He didn't like the vibration. He didn't even go near the chicken. If he's the type of child, listen, you know,
children, they like animals. Naturally.
If the monsters, the dragon that lived underneath the steps, if Spot came out, my son going to touch Spot. That's just the type of child he is. But those chickens, it was something funny about those chickens. We didn't like it either. But what's even more funny, as we was leaving, me and Chef looked back, we was like, hey, what's wrong with those birds? Said, they're acting funny. I said, did you notice that when she was like, yeah. They was like it was a tennis match or something. They going back and forth like they was understanding what we were saying. Now, check this out. These chickens were genetically modified, and they were a mix between
American
yeah,
and French Guinea.
No, it wasn't no French Guinea. It was
Foghorn?
Yeah, Foghorn. That's what it was.
Foghorn.
But they were genetically modified.
They were strange-looking birds.
Very strange. But my son was the first one out the room. He was the first one out the room.
He had enough of that.
Yeah, my constituent was like, he's like, oh, no, you can't open that door. My son pulled the door. It was one of those big rolling doors. He was like, he can't open that door. My son opened up the door and walked.
Yep. He left the
door. Oh, my goodness. But
real story.
This is a real true story. So, you know, this was like about maybe 5 years ago?
Five years.
Yeah, about 4 or 5 years ago. So, you know, genetics is playing a very crucial role, and it's creeping up in our everyday lives. And the thing is that, you know, with certain things, if you're not aware, people are dying from genetically modified
food and water.
And water, because then there are things in the makeup of these altered organisms that are not good for certain people, a lot of people, actually. And the thing is, I don't want to sound crazy, but listen, if population control is in effect, this is the best way to do it. I'm just saying.
Yep.
Remember what I'm saying to you. Living, modified organisms. So if these organisms are living, it's nothing for me to communicate with these organisms, whoever may, I'm just saying, I'm giving you some, let me give you some more information first before I even go there. These nanites, these nanodes and nanites that they have developed on a microscopic level have communications. They can communicate just like Wi-Fi, just like through the internet. So my thing is, this is a new type of, you know, I'm just saying, this is a new type of warfare. If I can get you to eat something, I could program, or I could tell that nanoid that's in your body, well, listen, at 11:30, kill him. I'm just saying, it's not far-fetched.
Not in this time it isn't.
In this time and age and the technologies that, listen, they're using integrated circuits that look nothing like the computers that we got right now. Always remember, whatever we're dealing with right now, the government got something that's 50, 60 years in advance, and that's what they are reluctant to tell us. They don't want to say that, so I'm going to say it's even further out there, real talk, because, you know.
This is the world we're living in, and a lot of this stuff is masked by entertainment and, you know, just that bustle, hustle and bustle, that 9-to-5, just that worker bee, like I've always said, ideology that we have. As a community, as a nation of people, is just keep on that grind. So you don't really have time to divulge the environment that's around you and to see things for what it is and to slow down your pace. It's always about fast going, and you know, so many things pass you by, and you know, you're not spending time trying to figure out what's on your plate. You just want to eat, and that's the kind of hustle and bustle that the American populace is always under, that type of pressure.
Yeah, well, you know, pressure, schmesher, makes no difference. The thing is that the American people, the American public, has been lied to, and of course, well, who are these guys? They're nobodies. Nobody. Listen, all we're here to do is to bring this information to you. It's up to you to decide what you're going to do.
Exactly.
Now, you can either choose to, you know, bury your head in the sand, that old sand, you know, but ostriches really don't do that. They really fight good, believe it or not. But anyway, you can do that if you want to. What we need to do is to make people aware that you are in the knowing
mm-hmm.
of what's going on.
And you have the choice to change.
Yep. Excuse me, your mothers and fathers were set in their ways with certain things.
And they didn't know certain things.
And they didn't know certain things. Listen, knowledge, the definition, you know, of course we ask 10, 20 different people, we're going to get 20 different answers. But the definition of knowledge is information.
Yep.
So the more information you have, the more knowledgeable you are and can make better decisions.
Proper choices.
Yeah, exactly. So if you're not informed and don't have information,
You won't make proper choices.
No, and you have no mind. So therefore, you have no knowledge. So thing about that is to get knowledge, to get information. And yes, you know what? You know, some information is propaganda. I'm just saying. You have to be able to read and discern and decipher what's what and what's not. People, how you know that? How you going to know? Well, you know what? By having more information, the more information you have, the better off you are.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, well, how do you, listen, whatever it is, get all of those, get six or seven people that are in the same field and see what they're saying.
Right.
And if all six of the seven are they saying the same thing, then something ain't right.
Right.
Something ain't right. But you have to be more informed. You have to want to be more informed. I know it's easy to say, but I can make excuses too. You know, my life is crazy and hectic, but I still have enough time to pay attention to things. It's not your life and, I don't know, I got to pay my light bill and all of these other things. I understand all of those things. But at some point in time, you have some time where you can pick up a book and read something or go on the internet. And what's so funny is that now the internet is at a point where, you don't even need a book. It's all about tablets and all these other things and all of this information that's out there. But even with that information that's out there, you have to be very, very careful because some of the information was put out there to be false, to be misleading and misguiding.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to be able, again, to get your research from different sources. You can't just depend on one source. Sometimes, I'll be honest with you, sometimes I've even done it. I've even chosen to examine 100 different people in the same field.
Right.
Just to see what all 100, what all 100 of them were saying, so that I could get a better perspective on the whole outcome of the thing. Because there's always someone that's going to use some type of euphemism and semantics to cover up, when there's going to be one person that's going to be like, well, yeah, I'll give you a perfect example. There's going to be somebody that says things like, we're adults. That smells like duty in your drawers. Did you poo-poo there? And, we got all these pretty little names, but, not for nothing, but, he got a shitty pamper. That is what it is. You want to call it dung, you want to clean it up, but he has a shitty pamper on. That's what that is. So we have to get into the habit. Sometimes people feel, oh, my, I'm offended by, you need to cover your ears. Because last time I looked around, this was the United States of America, not the USSR, where, you can't say and you can't speak. But we got this thing where, sometimes I really do need to let you know how I'm feeling. And I cannot let you know how I'm feeling by saying, oh, don't do that. Don't do this. That's not what you're supposed to do. Sometimes you got to say, hey, go sit down somewhere. You're making too much noise. You're doing this. You're doing that. I'm not necessarily saying you have to curse, but just in general, we just to let you know again where you're at. It's Green Talk Live and More.
On It's Real Talk Radio with the Chef.
I'm Chef Moses.
And I'm Chef Rivera.
And we're gonna take a little breaky break, and we're gonna come back to you, and we're gonna scare you some more. So we'll be back in a minute.
But why am I the only one traveling this way? How strange the road to love should be so easy. Can there be a detour ahead? Wake up, slow down before you crash and break your heart, gullible clown. You fool, you're headed in the wrong direction. Can't you see the detour ahead? The farther you travel, the harder to unravel. The web he spins around you. Turn back while there's time. Can't you see the danger sign? Soft shoulders surround you. Smooth road, clear night. Oh, lucky me that suddenly I saw the light. I'm turning back away from all this trouble. Smooth road, no detour ahead. The farther you travel, the harder to unravel. He spins around you. Turn back while there's time. Can't you see the danger sign? Soft shoulders surround you. Smooth road, clear night. Oh, lucky me that suddenly I saw the light. I'm turning back away from all this trouble. Smooth road, no detour ahead, no detour ahead.
You're back.
You're back with the chefs. So I hope you kind of digested some of the information that we were putting out there. Again, everything, you know, there's going to be transcripts of all of this stuff, so you'll be able to go back into its real talk back into their archives. And hear the show. Nevertheless, we are talking about GMOs.
And F1s.
And are they on your plate? And are you eating them? And, you know, there's a couple of fools out there talking about, no, I don't eat that. What's that? You know, but yeah, anyway.
We've all eaten that. At certain points,
we've eaten it. I don't want to, it's the truth. The majority of all of the cereals, genetically modified, let's call it what it is, living modified organisms.
Right.
All of these are in our grains, the commodities.
Our rice,
our soy. Check this out. There is an apple that has been developed that actually doesn't brown. It doesn't brown. So that's like soy milk, some of the milk that you put on the table, it doesn't need to be refrigerated.
Like Parmalat.
Like Parmalat milk. It doesn't need to be refrigerated. It can sit in like a cellar for like 40 years, and then you can like open it, go, whoop, 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 you know, have some cereal. That milk has living organisms in it.
To keep it from breaking down
and spoiling. So it was modified. It's not hard to look around and to see what's, you know, what's been modified. All of the saturated fats, trans fats, all of these things, they're like, they have things that are injected into them.
Yep.
You know, so it's just crazy. But hopefully someone's ears is going to be open tonight. If not tonight, maybe do some archival research when they get on to, you know, It's Real Talk. You know, when they come onto the website and, you know, they might just go into the archives and, you know, like, listen, be like, wow, you know. So, again, this is done for now and for prosperity, though, without question. I really want to get back into the GMO proponents and, you know, what's going on. In between, I'm going to give you a little dialogue, but, you know, GMO, the proponents claim that genetic engineering of crops is no more riskier than the natural conventional breeding. But in the fact, genetic engineering is different from natural conventional planting. Breeding in poses a special risk. In particular, the genetic engineering and associate tissue culture process are highly mutagenic. We were talking about that earlier. And it's leading to unpredictable changes in the DNA and the proteins of the resulting GMO crop that can lead to an unexpected toxic or allergic effect. Syngenics or intergenics. GMO crops pose the same risk as many other transgenic crops. There's nothing new about syngenics and intergenics. These methods only differ from transgenics methods, which result in the choice of organisms from which the gene of the interest is taken. Sometimes the GMO proponents misleadingly compare genetic engineering with radiation induced mutagenics. Check that out. You know, sometimes I'm trying to get my words together, but I have them there. Claiming that the latter, which I was talking about mutagenics, is claiming that the latter is natural or conventional breeding, and conclude that genetic engineering is safer than conventional breeding. In fact, while radiation-induced mutagenics is occasionally used in conventional breeding, that means that they're trying to say there was some proponents, some engineer scientists that were saying, like, well, yeah, you know, breeding, in fact, you know, it's good, it's all right, it's safe. And the thing is that it's really not. And in the conventional sense, radiation was induced. Mutagenics is occasionally used in conventional breeding. That's it. When they say, see, this, the words that they're saying, you know, they're saying, like, oh, well, you know, it's induced mutagenics and, you know, it's occasional use. But the thing is, how is it occasionally used? Nobody stops to ask that question. It's occasionally used because they grafted on to plants that have no radiation on them. And it's not in itself conventional breeding. Like genetic engineering, radiation induces mutagenics is risky. And mutagenics is not widely used in plant breeding, but it is used, but this is what they say, though. Because of the high failure rates, of course there's going to be failure rates, but they found that there's certain plants that they can use to mutate and nothing to happen. That's where they got some of those dwarf, you know, I'll give you a perfect example. There are trees in Florida right now, in different parts of the U.S., the United States, but a lot more so in Florida and California, where this one tree bears tomato, orange, pear, and even a banana. Listen, I don't know where y'all come from, but when I came up, an apple was from an apple. Every seed is of its own kind. All seeds is of its own kind. But here you got Dr. Giggles manipulating with his, in his laboratory, and he said, listen, let's cut to the chase. He said, instead of just growing these five different plants, that was funny. Instead of growing these five different plants, what we're going to do is we're going to come up with a way to take all five of these fruits and put them on one plant. Now, real talk, that would be beautiful if it didn't cause no type of endangerment to our environment.
Right.
It's causing a danger and a hazard to our environment because we are ingesting these things. So it doesn't behoove us, It really, truly doesn't behoove us. But they say that genetic engineering is more safe than conventional breeding, but it's really not. And some researchers have called for crops breeded through mutation breeding. It is to be subject to this at the same time, the same kind of safety assessment as GMO crops, LMO crops. This is a measure that it's required by Canada food safety authorities.
Right.
Comparing genetic engineering with radiation-induced mutagenics and concluding that it is less risky and therefore safe. It's like comparing a game of Russian roulette played with one type of gun,
right,
with a game of Russian roulette played with another type of gun. Mm-hmm. Neither game is safe. Both are risky. That's just what it is. They're both risky. A more useful comparison would be between genetic engineering and conventional breeding. You ain't going to do that. Through conventional breeding, that it does not involve radiation or chemical-induced mutagenics. In fact, that the method that has safely produced the vast majority of our crops and plants over the centuries, it is also a method that is more widely used today. In challenging genetic modification, we are rejecting science and not rejecting the most advanced forms of biotechnology such as marker-assisted selection. We have to have a private discussion about that, about markers and all that stuff, which speed up and make more precise the method of conventional breeding.
Mm-hmm.
We are only challenging the premature and misguided commercialization of crops produced using the impression and the cumbersome and outdated method of genetically engineering recumbent DNA technology. Why use these methods when there are better tools in the biotechnology toolbox? It's unnecessary to take risks with genetic engineering with conventional breeding assisted to the safe modern. It's not. You do not understand what happens when you take, okay, oh, they get, oh, this fruit has powdery mildew. And it would be better, this vitamin rot. Tomatoes get that. So you know what I'm going to do? I am going to take the gene. No, I am going to make this tomato not susceptible to end rot and blossom, to end bottom rot.
Right.
So what I'm going to do is I'm either going to use recombinant, change its DNA, its structure, or transmutagenic. I'm going to use some type of culture or tissue to insert so that this tomato will grow perfect.
Right.
But now, what are the consequences to that, though? Maybe it was meant in nature for that particular fruit to be rotten. That's part of its makeup. It was done like that for a reason. We don't know genetically on a microscopic level, on a microscopic cellular level. We do not understand the adverse effects of
our actions.
There are people, and this just was a story about 5 years ago. People were mysteriously dying off of certain foods. And, you know, of course, what happened was the detectives did some investigating.
And the autopsy reports.
And what they found was this. They found that all of those people that was dying of the same thing, they ate something and they died. They found out that they all ate something that was genetically modified. Didn't even know it. There was even one investigation where the woman died, but they didn't come to the conclusion that it was genetically modified, because they thought from what she had ate, there was no genetic modifications inside of it. And of course there was, because it was a cereal bar. So she ate this cereal bar, digested the cereal bar. Now, remember what I told you before. Commodities, grains, came to the conclusion that actually wasn't even the police, excuse me, wasn't the detectives. The detectives was going off someplace else. But the CDC found out that it was genetically, what they all had in common was they all died off of something that was genetically modified. So if you remember, a couple of years ago, there was something out where they wanted to know, people want to know what's in their foods, if it's GMOs. The reason why they wanted to know, because if you die from eating this, there is no way for them to tell what exactly was in the genetically modified food that you were eating, what exactly killed you. So they don't know what to look for. So if they don't know what, in some of, like Monsanto and some of these companies, don't want to label and tell what is genetically, what's in the food, what's modified, and what exactly is in it. They don't want to put that out there. Because
it's coming out, though.
It is. But what's going to happen is this, you know, the United States, they think they have problems now. Everybody likes to sue. So once they find out that one ingredient in the genetically altered food, and they find out that it kills somebody, oh, you best rest assured that they're going to find some other people across the United States that died of the same thing. Now they're going to have, by having the name of the genetic marker that was modified, by having the name of this precursor that's inside of it, by having the name of it, then you can say, well, boom, they died from that. But by not putting all of the ingredients in it, and it's genetic, so you don't know. Genetics, F1s, all of that. So as we're talking about GMOs, F1s is the topic too. F1s were, I'm going to say a little something about this, then I'm going to let Chef jump in real quick. F1s are hybrids.
Yeah.
Anytime you see a plant or seed that says F1 on it, know that it's genetically modified. It's a hybrid.
Mm-hmm.
F1s have no nutritional value.
Right.
So eating that would be like eating nothing at all. You're eating something, it's giving you, you know, I'll give you another perfect example. Do you remember when you were younger and you used to eat apples and pears, and for some reason, you know, you get a certain amount of pears and apples and you were good. But now if you eat an apple or a pear, it's like you keep consuming it. You keep eating it, keep eating it, keep eating it, keep eating it. Because there's no nutritional value inside of it. What happens is, listen, I don't want to get too, but this is what happens. When the body has an excessive amount of vitamins and minerals inside itself, what happens is it has to release these excessive amounts of minerals. So if you got too much vitamin A or too much vitamin B or too much vitamin C inside you, it comes out through your urine.
Yep.
If your levels are balanced out and your electrolytes and all of that stuff is balanced out, you're not going to be, you won't be hungry. But because the fruits and vegetables have no nutritional value, you keep eating, you keep eating, you like some, like a black hole with a tapeworm or something on you. But again, it is, these are things that you have to realize it first.
Mm-hmm.
Once you realize it, information is right. Information is supposed to change your way of thinking, especially new information.
Yeah.
It's not supposed to be like, oh, that's new information. Oh, all right, put that on the shelf. Don't need it. You need everything. You need all of the information that you can possibly have to make yourself more aware, and this way you can take more information, the better reactions and the better response that you can get with certain things. You know, now, you know, imminent catastrophes and stuff like that, you just got to pray, you just got to put your head between your legs and either kiss your ass goodbye or you're going to pray to God or something. You got to do something. But the thing is, with certain information, you can make the right decisions and choices. That's just it. Everything else is irrelevant. Because long as you can make the right decisions for yourself and for your family, healthy choices are healthy eating. And with that being said, Chef is going to go into F1s. The floor is yours, Chef.
Thanks. F1 hybrids is a term used in genetics and selective breeding. Now, the F in F1 stands for full-out one, the first full-out generation of offspring of distinctive different parental types. The term is sometimes written with the subscript, the one, meaning a hybrid. The offspring is distinctly different parental types produce a new uniform variety with specific characteristics from either or both parents. Like, for instance, a tangerine. A tangerine is a F1 hybrid
mm-hmm.
of a tomato and an orange.
Say that again so everybody can really understand it, what you said, and don't think like they misheard you or something.
For a perfect example of an F1 hybrid, an F1 hybrid is a hybrid of two different fruits. Grafted together to create a new fruit with the same characteristics of the two original parent fruit that it was derived from. So basically, perfect example, the tangerine. A tangerine is a cross hybrid between a tomato and an orange.
And mind you, grafting, we're not supposed to graft fruit at all.
At all.
You're not supposed to do that.
But scientists they do what they want to do because they can, and they have the billion-dollar backing to go into those labs and, you know, play God and play with nature, and, you know, they get into their Dr. Google thing.
Yeah. And
in their labs, and they're in their own little world. And these, you know, MIT-type graduates are in there, and they're getting busy, and they're changing the molecular structures, literally, of fruit. Now, in plants, crossing two genetically different plants produce a hybrid seed. This can happen naturally, which is that if you want to see grafting naturally, you have to let it happen naturally when nature takes us forth. And there are times, like, you know, being experienced farmers as we are, what happens is, let's say a seed blows off a plant and blows into the ground. What happens is if it takes the season after that, it starts to grow on its own, believe it or not. Or let's say a hummingbird or dragonflies come into your garden and they take seeds in their mouth and they transplant it from one part of the garden to another or somebody else's garden. They drop the seed out their mouth. If it takes for the next season, it grows on its own. So, you know, this whole thing about doing things, you know, unnaturally, that's where the problem comes.
That's where the problem lies. We're not supposed to be doing grafting. Is not supposed to be done. That's just it.
Now, this can happen naturally and includes hybrids between two different species. As I said, for example, peppermint, watermint, and spearmint. And now, in agronomy, the term F1 hybrid is usually reserved for agricultural cultivars derived from two different parent cultivars, as I said, like the tangerine. These F1 hybrids are usually created by means of controlled pollination, meaning in a lab, controlled the pollination process
without bees. What they're saying is that they are actually hand pollinated. But why do you now? They're doing an experiment, right? Why wouldn't you think they would want to use a bee? It's in a controlled study in a controlled environment. Why do you think they don't want to use the bee on that hybrid?
To control.
Listen, you see the bees are dying. Matter of fact, you know.
They're becoming extinct in the
United States. Bees are becoming extinct.
In the United States.
In the United States. I don't know. That might be next week's topic right there.
Yeah, bee pollination. Because without bees and the natural use of bees, no one can grow.
Well, actually. I'm sorry.
Naturally, you won't be able to grow.
The majority of people will not be able to grow.
That are farming.
People that are not all farmers know this too. Some real old time farmers know how to hand pollinate.
Right.
Hand pollination is something that we back in the ancient days we used to do these things. Pollination is not everyone doesn't know about that. You know, so it's only people only know how to use bees to pollinate,
right.
to pollinate the fruit or the flower. But my thing is that bees are things that we all need to know about. Now, just imagine if my father didn't teach me the things that he taught me. That means the generation that we have right now would be a generation that didn't know anything about hand pollination. Or a generation that doesn't know about raising tilapia or raising shrimps, lobsters, crabs, mussels, all of these crustaceans. Huh? Remember what I told you about our first show, Fukushima? Y'all better get ready. We need all the food, all of the water, all of these things.
All of the whatever's left.
Whatever's left, we're going to need all of these things. And what we're going to need to do is we are going to need to be able to provide this for a community. My community is wherever people are. So that means there's people in all of the states in the United States.
Yep.
That's where my people are. That's just what it is. So we need to rechange our thinking. You know, and know what? Yeah, you really, somebody has to sit your asses down and tell you, listen, this is important. This is not about your old ass no more. You got to think about your children and think about, their children, because we are going to give our children are going to inherit dung. That's what they're going to inherit. Nothing at all. I'm telling you, I think I said it before. You know, in the next 15, 20 years, my kids might be walking around here in gas masks and shit. So, I mean, your kids are going to be walking. If my kids are walking in gas masks, your kids are definitely going to be walking in gas masks. Or they're going to be living in some type of hermetically sealed bubble. You know, we'll know where that's happening at. Or I'm sorry, or maybe one of those underground caves or something. But my point being is that what doesn't affect you, what doesn't affect you directly can affect you indirectly. So, again, it's very important that, you know, we really start to pay attention. And it's all right. You know, you've been working hard. You know, I can't say anything about, I don't know everybody's life and what they're doing in their life. But I'm saying to you, I am a husband. I am a father. I work. I do community service. I do a lot of. If I can do that, anybody else can do it too. I remember how I used to find time to make excuses. I used to make excuses for shit I didn't want to do. But see, as you grow up and you become a man, you have to put those childish things away. Some of us as grown-ups we're still children. We have like a childlike mind.
Uh-huh.
Some of us have an infant-like, some of us have a baby-like mind sometimes. But with that being said, we need to be able to say, well, you know what? I'm just old and tired. I got to do something so I can protect the children for the next generation. You know, and like I said, it saddens my heart to know that there's some really good parents. I know really good parents. They make excuses for, you know. I can't blame them because, you know, I made excuses sometimes, too, when I was tired.
Right.
Yo, baby, we had to fight the garden Nazis off. It was coming for us like shit on truth because we talking this rain off. But no, we're back now. Yeah, like I said, man, we, you know, so many things, daunting things that are in our lives, but we have to think about our children. I mean, you know, what's so funny, if gunshots are being rung out somewhere, we gonna take our kids and we gonna, you know, protect them. So my thing is that in that certain situation, you're going to protect your child. So the thing is that isn't so much far gone out of the psyche to protect your child against something that's, you know, years to come? I think that, you know what I think that too is? A development of our psyche as folks, because we only think about the here and now, where we should be thinking long term. We don't think long term. Ours is like, well, you know, I'm thinking for right now, and I'm going to sleep. I'm going to wake back up, and, you know, whatever occurs tomorrow, it just occurs. It's not like that. We have to start thinking long-term. I know our lives are just so hectic and brutal, but we have to really think about, when we start thinking about long-term goals, we'll really start thinking about the possibilities and for our children and their health. This is not for us no more. We're older. A lot of us are set in our ways. Like, you know. But I have learned this, though. You can really teach an old dog new tricks. It is possible. It really truly is. All of that, though, you can't change a leopard spots. No, that's garbage, man. That really seriously is garbage. People can change. People have, because here it is. When you're younger, you don't have the motivation. All you want to do is be young and do what you want to do. So it's not until you get in your middle age, you're like, well, damn, what's this about? Then you get a little bit older, and you're like, oh, I see what it's about. Then by the time you really see what it's about, you're too old to even give a rat's tail about anything. Now you're just old and bitter. Thing is to be informed. That's all I ask you. Learn new things. Once you learn something new, you want to learn other things that are new. Learning is an experience. I mean, any time that you can go off, you know, be 50, 60 years old and go back to college. I know an 80-year-old woman that went back to college, and I said I know her personally. So, you know, like I said, it's never, you're never too old to learn something, man. And I think, too, once you get your children into certain things with you, you know, then you can really, you know, you know what, as parents, we forget that we once were children. So because we forget we once were children, we have a tendency to, you know, say things like, well, why'd you do that? Like, when your child one day say something to you like, well, wasn't you young? Why'd you do it? Of course, you're going to smack fire out of them, but, oh, I'm sorry, or you might give them a time out. But what I'm saying is that the thing is that you can't treat, listen, it's just so much. It's so much that I want to express to you all out there, and there's so much that I want you to understand. And my whole thing is that, see, it's easy for me to understand it because of my trials and my tribulations in life. And me always asking that question, well, why is that? And I found out I always wasn't like that. I wasn't always like that. You have to train, we have to train and condition ourselves like fighters, man, to be able to say, well, I need to know why is that the way it is. Not just assume, well, you know, oh, they getting money over there, or they stealing over there, or they doing something illegal. Just, well, welcome to America, baby. Hello. Welcome to America. The thing is, to get the real intricate part of it, what's really, really going on? And then you know what? With that information, build upon it. Change your ways and your habits. See, this information is supposed to change you. I don't know about anybody else, but, you know, when I get certain information, no, not even certain, just information in general, it enlightens me to a point, and then it makes me say, well, I know I'm on the right track with something. But it also makes me understand, again, my surroundings, my environment. You know, if your environment is messed up, you know, you're going to get sick. Carbon monoxide, fumes, I mean, all of these things. If your environment is not safe and stable, you're going to get sick. But guess what? There's other factors besides you being sick. What else can happen to you that we don't know about?
Or won't happen until maybe 5-10 years after the fact.
Yeah, so
that's the scary part.
That is the scary part, you know, to just, you know, just be like you think you're going to enjoy the rest of your life and watch your grandchildren and all this, then somebody taps you and say, well, you know.
It's not going to happen like that.
You got prostate cancer in your throat. And you're like, how did that happen? I'm saying that.
The whole cancer situation is out of control.
That's supposed to be someplace else and not in your throat. But I'm using it as an example.
Yeah.
You know, these cancers, there's cancers popping up that wasn't popping up before.
Not 20 years ago.
No, and you know what, too? Here it is again. another green moment. Women are getting breast cancer at an alarming rate in the United States.
And ovarian cancer.
But now check this out. They found out that where the women are getting the cancer at most is that lump between their breasts and their arms. That's where you put the deodorant on, the roll-on deodorant. All of these chemicals are killing us. You know what's
one
so
way or another.
Now, you know, not now, but for a long time, I understood why there were people that were, you know, using natural things and natural.
Dead sea salt.
Yeah, but no, I'm saying like natural deodorants and all that. Mm-hmm. But what's so funny is I used to say to myself, dang, they look crazy. And they look smelly. But they knew something we didn't know.
Yep.
They knew something we didn't know. And guess what? I know one of those hippie crazy cats, and I've known him for a long time. And to this day, picture perfect of health. He looks the same way he did 30 years ago. He looks exactly the same way.
He is a little older.
Yeah, no. Only thing that changed is his white hair. That's the only thing that changed. He has white hair now, a little bit of white hairs on him. But my whole thing is that his face and his complexion and his demeanor, his glow, it is the same thing from 30 years ago. So, you know, he knew something. Well, not even that he knew something. He was taught something. And
way in advance.
He figured out that what he was taught was on the right path. And that's just the same thing with all of us. We're taught things, and we take it with us to the grave. We take it to us adulthood, and we teach our children that. So the thing is that we have to apply all of that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
All the time. And you know what? I'm going to be honest with you. In the Bible, the Lord says, spare the rod, spoil the child. And that's true. But I say this to you. If they need it, they're supposed to get it. But on top of that, you never discipline a child, and then after that, you spank them, and then you don't talk to them. You have to make that child understand why you are doing what you are doing. And then you have to talk his ear off to death. Because after a while, they're going to be like, you know what, please give me the spanking. I don't even want to hear you talk. No, you're going to get both if I have to. You know, but we're in an age where people don't even want to hear you talking about spanking kids and all of that. But, again, the thing is to instill these values in our children so that these values can lead to other good values, like green values, like eating healthy, acting healthy, eating smart,
being healthy,
you know, living a healthy lifestyle, you know. So, you know, everything I say this, everything in moderation, though, that goes with anything and everything that you're dealing with, food. Matter of fact, I'll give you an example. A friend of mine was just talking to me not too long ago. This was today. He was like, dang, chef, you had some fried food? I was like, yeah, I made me some fried fish, some shrimps, and he was like, but that's not really healthy, chef. And I was like, yeah, but you know, everything in moderations. I don't eat stuff like that every day. But the thing is, everything in moderations. I know one thing. If you want some shrimp, you better not buy no shrimp out the store.
No, we get ours farm raised.
Listen, ours is farm raised because we raise it ourselves. And that's the best shrimp you could ever eat. But, you know, with that being said, the thing is I want people to take away from, if you don't get nothing from what me and Chef are doing, I want you to get that you can be green and self-sustainable.
If anything,
can raise your food in your own house. You know where it came from. You know what it looks like. All of that. What's so funny is, in China, the fish that they, the tilapia that they raise, most of our tilapia, by the way, comes from China and Japan. Taiwan. But just to throw it out there, China, because China feeds the tilapia rabbit dung. See, they got rabbits in these places. And see, these rabbits, what they do, you know, they when they poop, Their poop look is perfectly round.
Yeah.
Like little marbles, man. Yeah. And the thing is, I don't know, some Asian man said to himself, well, you know, that looks like a feed pellet. Let me try to feed that to the fish and see what's going on. And of course, the fish ate the they eat the poopy pellets from the rabbits. So the whole thing is,
be careful where you eat. That's all I got.
If that rabbit, and you know that rabbit is eating some genetically modified alternative, he eating something that ain't good for him.
So it definitely won't be good.
So then if he's eating it, he's passing it through his feces, and the fish are picking it up. I don't know about that. Listen, shrimps are scavengers, but I really don't want to know that the fish that I'm eating just had some rabbit shit. I just don't want to do that. I don't know, call me crazy, but I don't want to eat a fish that was eating rabbit shit. So what I'd rather do is know, because if you know about your fish and you know what's going on, you would know that fish, especially tilapia, not all fish, but tilapia, are omnivores. Excuse me, herbivores. They eat plant matter. They eat. They don't eat meat. They're not carnivorous. They don't eat meat.
Right.
They eat vegetables.
Vegetation.
They eat vegetation. They eat algae. They take the
spirulina.
Yeah, spirulina, stuff like that. They use actually their gill rakes are used to ingest the algae, which they take off the side of the glass. But my tilapia eat collard greens. They eat collard greens. They eat lettuce. And if they're really good and, you know, our budget is good, you know, we're a non-for-profit. So the thing is that we will hand make the food using protein and different types of
vegetation.
Yeah, vegetation. And actually what we do is we use egg yolk. But the eggs that we use are from the chickens. Actually from the chickens. Listen, before I go into that, I want to shout out whoever's in the chat room.
Any questions
just let us know. I also would like to send a shout out to Platinum Diamond. I know, right? Sounds like a stripper, right? No. Platinum Diamond, that is for life, and that's my main ring. Hello? That's it. We got it. So, Platinum Diamond, my man Raymond, doing some big things. Yeah, that's it. Doing big things in the community. And it's all about the children. So I had to take this little public service announcement to let you know. Again, big up to Raymond. Artie Smarty, I'm watching you. I'm watching you, little one. You know what I'm talking about. And these are people that are doing some good things with not enough funding and stuff like that. But you know what? It's all right, though. The struggle is what makes you better. We've struggled. We know what it is. They know what it is. And don't worry, everything is going to come to you soon. You heard?
Yeah, but nevertheless, I mean, the synopsis of the whole thing is, A, if you can grow your own food, you're in a better place. You won't have to worry about where your food comes from or anything when you grow it and you cultivate it yourself. With that being said, the number one thing to look out for is seeds. Now, when you find seeds to grow, whether you have a home garden or you're part of a community garden where you have a space within a community garden, or you're fortunate enough to get your own urban farm, whether it's in the city or a regular farm in a real rural area, if you're fortunate to have those type of situations, the seeds that you buy are the most important thing. There are various different organizations and companies, believe it or not, despite Monsanto's ravaging and pillaging the whole seed food market, there are organic companies that you can buy seeds from. Go on Google, and they will come up, and, you know, as long as they say USD organic, then Because it's a very strict.
Can't trust it. No, 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 no.
For the most part, once you get it, you know, once you go have heirloom seeds and organic seeds, you'll be fine.
Listen, if you get seeds that have coats on them, like a shiny coat,
right?
Do not buy.
Right.
Do not buy. That's it.
Exactly.
I'm gonna give you a perfect example. That's one of my favorite things to say. Listen to this. In Haiti, when the earthquake hit Haiti, let me show you how the Haitians think. America sent them, Monsanto sent those cats boxes of GMO seeds. You know, them Haitians, they built a bonfire,
as they were,
they took all them seeds and burnt them shits. You understand what I'm saying to you? Now, this is a third world country. And Monsanto sent them, and once they found that the people that were over there told, well, you know, Monsanto sent some seeds. Let me tell you something. They're so informed. Them Haitian people took every last single seed that
starving
or not, barefooted, no clothes on. They took that shit and burnt it. So that says a lot. It says a lot about their spirit and their knowledge of what's going on in the world. Now, you did that up here, you know somebody going to be like, boy, won't you just plant that? Or somebody going to be like, hey, you need to plant that stuff. And nobody...
And then after it's grown and you eat it, it kills you.
Yeah, well, hey, it is what it is. But, to all of the Haitians out there, ça passe. That's what's up. So, I want to take this time. We're kind of winding down now, but I want to take this time to see if there's anyone in the chat room. Hit me up. Give me a call. Go online, so I can you know talk to you, so I can say a couple of things to you. Make you feel what you've been listening for. It's all right. I know there's people. We know there's people in the chat room. It's just that, you know, I know you're listening to us, but, you know, when are you going to call me? Are you going to wait till like five shows, six shows? There's a lot of people that this is burning inside them. They want to talk about this, but
they don't have the medium.
This is why we are here. That's why. It's real talk radio is here. That's why we're here, to be able to have a voice. And
not be FCC regulated.
Yeah, you know, not be able to say things like shit, and then you say, I'm going to get a fine. All right, okay, listen. We're about to leave you, and before we leave, I just want to tell everybody to be safe in all your journeys. And if you're sick, be well. I need you to come back Thursday and listen to us on It's Real Talk Radio with the Chefs. So with that being said, I am Chef Moses.
I'm Chef Rivera.
Have a good night.
Take it easy, guys.